Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanaka Oberhuber, and I'm your host. My guest today is Wonu Alese, right? Or how do you say it?
Wonu Alese, or the Amazing Soul.
Okay, Wonu Alese. Welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you here. And I'd like to start with a question where you can take your time to answer it. How did you come to see the world the way you do today?
That's a great question. I had things that happened in my life that forced me to go within and surrender, even when I logically tried to hold on to my belief system or the illusion of this human game. So the things that happened in my life just made me realize that all the answers I seek was within, and I had to just be quiet and listen to myself, my intuition, my inner teacher. And the moment I went within and just really sat down and I was able to let go, I realized that I am everything and everyone. I'm the universe expressing itself. For a very long time, I acted as a wave, not realizing I'm the whole ocean. It was when I went within, just really surrendering, I realized that I don't know anything. I still don't know anything. I'm just really embracing the unknown, that this is it. This present moment is all there is. There is no future or past. This is all there is. And I'm just embracing that unconditional love and realizing I'm everybody and no one. That really opens my heart to everything and made me realize that, hey, you know, everyone that I interact with is myself, and, you know, there's no separation from anyone I interact with because they're ultimately me. So, yeah, events that happened in my life forced me to go within, to surrender, and really realize who I really am.
Thank you. That's very, very important to know. So would you like to go into some of the details and then share how you see the world now?
What should you say that again?
Like to go into some of the details of the events that led to your going within, and then share about more about how you see the world today.
So I struggled with excruciating physical body pain for about 20 years of my life. And seven of those 20 years was lower back excruciating pain. And, I couldn't sleep for 7 years on my back. It was from one doctor to another, from one specialist to another, a bunch of MRI scans, hordes of medication. And just, it was very, it seemed like it was working on the surface, like, you know, when you take those medications to numb the pain, it's like, okay, it feels okay for now. But then again, it's like a band-aid, right? You're not really dealing with the issue underneath all that. So for me, I was just tired. I was tired of doing the same thing, physical therapy for a year. And I'm like, I'm done with this. And I realized that no one outside of me could fix me per se, but there's really nothing to fix because this meat sack is ultimately an illusion. But ultimately, the moment I realized that I was trying to fix something that was an illusion, which was impossible, I realized I was missing an element, but I had to shift my awareness to realize that something I wasn't doing was feeling my feelings and emotion. I was suppressing my feelings for a very long time. It was anger that I suppressed, which is a natural emotion, but the more I suppressed it, it turned into rage, and that rage turned into chronic back pain. So, but reflecting on my life and, you know, starting to feel my feelings, I trashed all my medications into the garbage. I canceled all my doctor's appointments. And I did something that I have never done in 33 years of my life. I sat with myself for 1 week straight. I mean, no distractions, no food to distract myself, no social media. And I sat with my feelings and emotion. And physical excruciating pain of 20 years just disappeared just like that in 1 week. I had no doctor, nothing. And I was just like, wait, what's going on? Like, oh my God. And I was just, that really shifted a lot in my awareness and made me realize that, okay, so the key to everything that most of us are chasing is our feelings and emotion. That anger just went in my attention that I've been pushing away for a long time with the medication and doctor's appointment. And I was playing victim to that back pain because I kept pointing fingers to everyone outside of me like, oh, you know, you're not doing your job well, or my mom did this, or my dad did this. And I realized that, no, I'm creating this stuff. I have to take responsibility, accountability for those things that happen. That's when my life starts to transform, when I took charge of what was happening in my life. And I stopped playing the blame game. And I sat with myself, no bullshitting. I really, really, you know, sat with those feelings and emotion that would need my attention for a very long time. And that helped me shift my awareness and how I see myself. But most importantly, it birthed my book that, you know, I self-published around the same time that my back pain kind of transformed in my life. And I just, in that book, I wrote my experiences of how doing one simple thing, which is sitting with yourself, can literally change your life. And most of us think it's complicated stuff, but I've realized that, at least from my experience, it's too simple that most of us discard it. Like, it's too simple because we are so used to complicated stuff with the brain and, you know, navigating life logically that, you know, you have to drop logic at some point and embrace your intuition. Nobody's special. There's nothing special about me. Everyone has intuition. Everyone, it's been communicating with you. You just have to slow down and listen. And the moment you slow things down and just listen, you will begin to see all the solutions to your so-called problems. Because ultimately, there are no problems. It's just your perception on how you see life. It's just, everything's just happening. There are no good, there's no bad, it just is. But that's something, that was a pivotal moment in my life last year that literally transformed and shifted how I saw myself and how I interact with the world, because the world is ultimately me. But yeah.
Wow, that's really good news to hear that you were able to make this shift and from a place of so much struggle and pain, right? So I think that's really good news for all of us who have maybe less palpable issues, at least when it comes to the physical, perhaps. But anyways, so you said you sat with it, with your feelings, with your emotions, and the whole shebang of whatever was going on in your mind. And then something shifted in you, and now you see the world very differently than previously. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I don't know if you encountered the book A Course in Miracles, but there's a lot of parallels to what you're saying in that book as well.
No, I haven't encountered a book. I don't know what book you're speaking about.
So one of the topics is to... Yeah, you need to look at yourself. You have to accept responsibility. That's the only way to be able to change your mind about things. Without responsibility, it's not blame, it's not guilt, it's responsibility. And responsibility, according to A Course in Miracles, has the power to allow you to change your mind, right? When you accept the responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And in A Course in Miracles, it also says this, like you were saying, you're not special, right? In A Course in Miracles, it says you need to shift from the idea that you're special to the idea of equality. Because the specialness is the one where you're going to be unhappy. It's the unhappy choice.
Yeah, that's very true.
Another way of putting it is, it says there's the, you have the special relationship and the holy relationship. And the special relationship, you are always trying to get something from somewhere that you think is not you, that you want to have. And in the holy relationship, you're seeing wholeness everywhere. So
yeah,
it's a big one for
yeah.
Well, maybe you'd like to, since you're speaking of their self-published book, maybe you'd like to share a little bit of the structure of the book and what the topics are in the book so that one can get an idea about it.
The title of the book is The Truth Is I Do Not Know, Fun Ways to Make Your Life Less Complicated. What I basically pour in the book is I talk about tools on how to navigate the human game. So most of us don't realize that we are playing a game and there is no point to this game. It's a pointless game, I know. The point is to have fun, expand, and experience. The moment you realize you're playing a game, that's where the first tool that I speak about comes into play. Awareness. Awareness that you're indeed playing a game. You're not playing a game with somebody else. You're playing a game with yourself. The moment I come on here and I feel like I'm speaking to somebody else, I've lost the plot of the game. I'm speaking to me. It's oneness, speaking to oneness, unconditional love, speaking, whatever you want to call it. But we, once you become aware that you are playing a game, you won't, whatever you see. So the root, the Latin word for illusion is ludere. It means to play. So whatever you see, good or bad, you won't take it so seriously and just like, oh, okay. It's just another experience. It's not good. It's not bad. I'm just aware I'm playing a game. So awareness is a very, I talk about in the book that awareness is a very important tool for you to navigate this human game. And I also talk about perception. Perception is drop the blame game. No one is doing anything to you. Wherever you're seeing that's triggering you, you got to sit with it. Like it is pointing you back to you saying, hey, you need some attention here. What do you need to sit with so that whenever it comes up again, it doesn't trigger you as it used to. So drop the victim game and shift your perception and realize you're not a victim and realize that you are creating everything around you, whatever you tag good or bad, because life has no meaning until you assign an emotional value to it. That's how powerful you are. You just don't, most people, well, you, I mean myself, you just don't know it. You're not aware of who the fuck you are, but you need to shift your perception on how you see yourself as you navigate life. That right there will really shift a lot for you, because even if, let's just say, even if someone gives you all the tools and everything to heal and all that, nothing is going to change for you if you don't shift how you see yourself here. I don't care if you go to India or Peru to go heal ayahuasca. Nothing is going to happen for you till you shift, you know, how you see yourself here. So perception, I speak on it like it's a very important tool. And the third tool that I talk about is appreciation. Appreciation is being appreciative of everything going on in your life. Whether it's good or bad, just be appreciative. It's a difference between saying thank you. I mean, really appreciate that. You know what? I get to have this experience. Whether it goes your way or not, it's just an experience. And the moment you move from that positive or negative to isness, that right there is just sitting in the eternal now. That right there is how you navigate seamlessly. So regard, you're not, we're not saying we're running away from suffering, because life happens, right? But once you have the tools to navigate, even if life throws at you something, but I see it. Go back to your intuition. Appreciate that it's happening to you or for you, and the answers will come up to you once you just listen to the silence. So appreciation is such a powerful tool that you can start to apply on your journey to just navigate life more seamlessly and just really start to have fun. You know, don't take yourself seriously. I also speak about that, you know, this is a meat sack. It's really a character in this simulation. I don't know if you're aware of the Sims game, but it really, if you really look around, I know it feels real, there's relativity, but it's ultimately a simulation. But you need to, once you can become aware that you are playing a game, the seriousness falls away, because why would you take an illusion serious? Like, laugh, have fun, enjoy the little things of life, be here now, love one another, not because of their race or their color or their religion or none of that. Drop all that concept and just love because they're a human being. And that unconditional love for everything and everyone, I keep on like pressing on that's the key, you know, just opening your heart to everything. I mean, really just like, to the suffering, open your heart to it. That's how you expand. That's how we shift this narrative of me versus you. No, it's us. It's one. I don't care what you say. We're all oneness expressing itself through this body. And the more and more people realize that, we can, quote unquote, shift this collective consciousness and just love, honestly. That's, at the end of the day, it's all love. Like, moment we just start to love and just, I don't know, just accept one another for who we really are. We, all the shit, and just be authentic. That be, the willingness and courage to be authentic and truthful. You know, drop the lies and drop the facade and the mask and just be yourself. I just feel like the more people embrace the authenticity, I don't know, life just becomes lighter. The energy shifts more. But that's essentially what I talk about. And I also share my experiences, my real life experiences in the book. And, you know, I also expand more on the feelings and emotion. And I share fun, simple, everyday tools that you can use to start to become aware of yourself. Like when you go into the shower, just feel the water on your skin. That's awareness. You know, it's nothing complicated. Like when you're eating, feel the food go through your throat. Like simple stuff, like, you know, just drink water and feel the water go through your throat. Feel the air on your skin. That's awareness. It's nothing complicated. And I try to make it as simple that regardless of whatever your belief system is and you read the book, you get it. It's not a pile of chapters. It's a very short book that you can read through and really understand and start to realize who you really are, because you've been playing small. So you just have to really embrace who you are and start to realize that life is fun and it can be simple. But that's essentially like the summary of what the book is. It literally transformed my life. And I know that whoever reads the book, it will transform their life. So I decided to share it with the world. But yeah.
Thank you for summarizing the book for us.
Yeah.
Now, so what I'm always fascinated by people's lives. That's why also, and how we can help each other to get home again, right? To remember who we actually are,
right?
And including myself, of course. I also want to remember who I am. So this is a journey together of remembering who we are. And in A Course in Miracles, it also speaks of what you were saying about the, I am not a body, I am free, I am just as God created me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to share a quote with you when you said you're trying to remember. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you short. It just came through to me and I was just like, oh my God. The greatest obstacle to enlightenment is thinking you're not already enlightened. I fell into that trap over and over again, thinking that on my spiritual journey, I had to go through this myriad of steps to get to enlightenment. It's a trap, at least from my experience. You are it. There's no way, no, you are it. You're the universe expressing itself, your oneness, your right now. There's no, you do 10 things. No, this is it, you're it. You just have to realize that, oh my God, enlightenment is this present moment. It's not something I get or in a few years or I got to see some guru. No. You are your own guru ultimately, you know? But I just wanted to point that out to you that, you know, there's no 10 steps or mountain to climb to reach this enlightenment that we keep talking about because it's this present moment. But yeah, I just thought I'd bring that to your awareness because there's really nothing to do, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's very fascinating, this whole facets of it, because when you're experiencing it, that what you're saying makes perfect sense, right? And when you're not experiencing it, it sounds utopian, right?
Right.
So this is a very fascinating way of how this works. And so, yes, I remember when I was studying, we had this course about religion and consciousness study, science about religion and consciousness. And one of the topics that came up was this psychologist who, Charles Tart, who said, depending on what state of mind you're in, you would need a different science for that. So, yeah.
Right.
Yes, from the one side, we already are there, and it's true. It's absolutely true. And the other part of us that's experiencing struggle and strife and so on is saying, is having a different experience, right? And so the remembering is, in according to A Course in Miracles, is allowing the Holy Spirit to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And that's what we're doing. And that's how we can support each other.
Okay.
So yes to everything you said, of course.
Okay. Cool.
So maybe we should go into this subject of playing and joyfulness and this creativity, and also in A Course in Miracles it also says only illusions can fight illusions, so the truth doesn't fight at all. Anyways, just to that thing, like, were you saying it doesn't solve anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you feel about when you share these ideas, can you share them with young children as well? Or how do you do that, if you do?
That's a great question. While I was writing the book, The Truth Is I Do Not Know, what came through this body was the book was going to connect with young, middle age, and the old. I was just writing the book from a place of play and fun and an open heart. And 10-year-olds actually read this book and literally understand this book. There's no vision, but I already saw that before I put out the book. But when I see it real time, it really warms my heart because the book is so simple that it not only touches 10-year-olds, but my dad, who is like, very stuck up in his belief system, who's almost 65, he resonated with him. So there's a long, and that was the intent of the book. Regardless of your belief system, your age, none of that. I mean, this is unconditional love, speaking to unconditional love. So it has to connect with you because I genuinely wrote it from a space of, I'm speaking to myself, which is oneness, through 8 billion beings. So it has to connect with you. And I'm very appreciative that even now the book is on Amazon and Barnes and Noble and people are getting it. And someone told me that his 10-year-old daughter picked up a book. I couldn't stop reading it. That really opened my heart. A 65-year-old man reading it. That, like, those are two ends of the spectrum. So anyone in between is obviously going to understand because it's so simple. And I'll use the word profound. It's so simple and profound that, you know, it takes away the complication out of, you know, this whole life myriad of you got to do 10 things to realize you're it. But that the book was able to do justice to that. And for me, how I connect with people in person is I can feel people's energy. I don't know how, but it's just something that I know how to do. And once I start to speak with people, I speak with them from a place of love. So here, once you connect with people behind the belief system and from love, they will open their heart to you. Once they see a part of you in them, the part where they're trying to like, oh, you know, I don't want to speak to you, they just open it because love is the key to everything. So the more I speak, I try to put myself in spaces that are very uncomfortable, because the more uncomfortable I am, I can get to grow. That's just how I see it and expand. And I also see I'm speaking to myself. So it makes me, it enables me to seamlessly connect with people once you come from a place of love. And once people see that there's a part of you they can connect with, they just open up and they see it's a no judgment zone and it's fun. It's like, you know what, fuck it. I'm gonna speak to you, a human being. And you don't come from a whole high pedestal, or I'm better than you, or your religion is better than my. No, I don't come from that space. I drop all that concept. I just want to connect with you because you're a human being and it's love. Whatever belief system you have, that's fine. I hold on to it. It's each to each his own, whatever works for you. But I'm just saying I love you. That's all. And you're a human being, and you know. So once you come from that mindset, from that love space, people open their hearts. At least from my experience, that's how it's been working for me. And have been navigating that through that. But yeah.
So what I was also referring to children under 10 years old. So have you had experience with kids from 0 to 10?
0 to 10 about the book or just me interacting with them about this?
You're interacting about these subjects with the young children.
Oh, I have two nieces. One is 5 and one is 8, I believe. And I actually talk to them, but I come from a space of, so I always like listen to my intuition when I was speaking to people, like, okay, how do I approach this person? And, you know, my niece, she was having challenges at school, and she didn't know how to express her emotions because obviously her mom, you know, didn't know like how to express emotions. So obviously she didn't know how to pass that on to her daughter. So I sat her down and be like, you know, it's okay to write down your emotion. It's okay. If you're angry, it's a natural emotion. Just let it out. Or you can use voice notes. Another thing I also do with them is we watch like cartoons that talk about feelings and emotion because there are a lot of them out there. And coming from that cartoony space, you can connect with kids too like that. So I watch it with them and like, oh, Auntie Wanda, that's how you, oh, like you're connecting more, just using what they connect with. That's how I'm able to connect with them, with the things that work. I'm just telling them it's okay to express themselves and not suppress their emotion, at least at that age. It helps them open up more to you. So you're not, you know, it's more from a fun place than a, oh my God, this whole big complicated stuff. But yeah, that's how I've been able to connect with kids on that level.
That's beautiful. And another thing is, you know, there's so many things about how do you support children and when they're struggling with, you know, following rules or this or that, right? And and so there's a lot to talk about and a lot of people have been putting their minds to it. So I was wondering how your experience plays into that.
Yeah.
So let's see. So you must be going through some deepening experiences because you've been, you said it, was it 2 years ago or something that this started? This opening up started or something you said?
No. 2014, but then again, I won't say I went back to sleep because there is no I, but 2021, I really like, it happened again, and I just went down the so-called rabbit hole. But I will tell you this, though, from my experience, I realized that I couldn't fix the outer world, so I went within to fix my inner world, but I failed. I failed very horribly. And I can say that now. The reason why I will tell you I failed was because I did everything under the sun about spirituality. So I'm not discarding spirituality or its concepts like manifestation or science, reprogramming the subconscious mind, neuroplasticity. I did all that. I read tons of books. But one thing I have, you know, learned on my journey is those things are steps. Do not, once you quote unquote get there, just let them go. Like, but holding on to, oh my God, this is the concept, like I'm gonna hold on to it, it's a trap. And I did that over and over and over again, and I kept repeating the same cycle until I think, you know, I was just tired of repeating the same stuff. And I got to this awareness, like, oh my God, there's actually, I'm trying to fix an illusion which is impossible. And I just gave up. I literally just gave up the concept, gave up the identity, and just embraced just not knowing stuff. Embraced just realizing that this is it. This is how my life is going to be in this present moment. That's really, I think for me, that's where that transformation, I could feel it. Like, oh my God. And, you know, that energy shift really happened, and that expansion without even trying. Like a skin of a snake when it naturally falls off its back. That's what happened. I didn't try to force people to get rid of the ego. Why would you want to get rid of an illusion? It doesn't exist. Why do you want to pay that attention? Just watch it. You're giving it more energy by saying you want to get rid of something. There's nothing to get rid of. Just observe and notice yourself. And like I said, I was on a journey of getting rid of the ego, thinking that, oh, when I get rid of the ego, then I'm going to be enlightened. Remember how I said the greatest obstacle to enlightenment is thinking you're not already enlightened. And once that realization came to me without me trying, I didn't go like, oh, you know what? I'm going to try. I just let go, surrender. I just surrender. Whenever it comes, whenever I become aware, when I'd even expect it, I literally started to feel myself in everything and everyone. I'm not even... I've always heard that your oneness expressing itself, but I had to experience. I woke up one morning and I literally could feel myself in the fan, in the bed, I could feel myself, and that's what happened to me. Like, and I just like, oh my God, like, oh, okay. And it's just been fun and play since then. And I keep telling people, you can use spirituality and all that concept, but don't hold on to it. Use it, let it go. Because I did too, but my bullshit was I held on to those concepts thinking that they were the end all be all, not realizing I was putting myself in a trap and an illusion. But ultimately I realized that there is no concept needed. There's nothing to do. There's just be here now. And whatever it is you're seeking, in quote, just comes to you naturally. Once you slow things down, the world will come to you. And that's what's been happening to me, though, based on my experience. But yeah.
Yeah, that's very powerful to think about and to also experience that.
Yeah.
And to say yes. It's like you're saying yes. Okay. It's fine. You know, when you read books like A Course in Miracles, you have all these ideas, right? Like nothing in the world means anything. Or things like that, and then you give everything you see the meaning that it has, that you think it has, right, and so on and so forth. So all these ideas are very helpful, and yes, in the end, you need to let go of it all, and come to your experience as it is in this moment. And the same thing in the Buddha, there's Buddhist concepts where they have that explanation. You start this and this and this, and then in the end, you come back and are doing the same things you used to do, but with a completely different feeling to it, a totally different experience.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, people, when you say, someone who's found their, have remembered who they are, they have to be a certain way or a certain, had a way of being or look in a certain way or have a certain this. And the truth, at least according to what I've read and seen, they all say, well, in the end, you're happy the way it is. So yeah, and of course in Miracles it also says you can't change the world, you can only change your mind about it.
Yes, yeah, that is true. The world is perfect just the way it is, there's nothing to change. Yeah.
So what are the things that you enjoy doing and sharing about, and what maybe you would like to share a little bit about what you do and how you practice your understanding, the way you see the world today.
So thank you for that question. What I do is I have fun being a life guide. I just have to stick to a concept since I'm playing the human game, right? And people ask, you know, well, what's a life guide? I just say, I point you to you. I make you aware of who the fuck you are. I mean, I literally have to use that word. I said a quote earlier on, for a very long time, you thought you were the wave. You're the whole fucking ocean. I mean, like, I just putting into perspective, I mean, who you really are. Like, stop playing small. Like, bro, like, I could talk about this stuff 25 hours a day, eight days a week. I mean, I'm really exaggerating now because I'm not just passionate because, you know, I've experienced this, but most importantly, this is something that called to me, like it came to me. I'm looking for it. So, and I genuinely enjoy speaking about this because at least that's what happened to me. Once you shift your perception on how the fuck you see yourself in your mind, woo, it's not game over. Now you're playing the game. You really think you're navigating life? No. You've been playing small. You've been going by the rules. You've been trying to be predictable. It's boring. Who wants to play a game where you know the next move? This is a human game where once you embrace the unknown, you don't know what the next move is. And that's the fun part. And that's why you go back to your intuition, your inner teacher. Like, you know, you ultimately don't need anyone outside of you. That's the truth. You don't need no guru. You don't need no mentor. I don't care what anybody says. There might be like pointers to you, but ultimately just let them go too, because you are your own guru, you are your own teacher. But you just have to find ways to slow things and listen. I mean, really become aware that you are consciousness. I mean, that vast awareness that if you close your eyes and you see empty dark space where there's no beginning, end, there's no middle, that is you. So why are you playing small? That's the question I ask people. How dare you play small? You came here to expand. So why are you like, you know, playing logical? Why are you, oh, you know, I have a goal for the next 6 months, or, you know, when I reach that goal, I will be happy. No, guess what? Happiness is in this present moment. Happiness and peace is your natural state. Even if you have that money in your bank account, you're not going to be happy. I guarantee you that. It's not the money. It's not the relationship. It's you sitting with yourself, realizing and truly feeling your feelings and emotion. And really, I think another thing I'm also aware and that really helped me, brutal honesty. I mean, I looked into the mirror and I was brutally honest with myself. Cut the bullshit. You know, I was lying to myself for years. I'm like, you know what? I'm done lying. I want to be honest. And that's your truth. To be willingness and courageous to just be honest. Like, you know what? I'm full of shit. I enjoy playing victim. Or if you drink alcohol a lot or you eat a lot. Like, for me, I used to, like, eat to distract myself. I was eating was my escapism. Like, I would just eat for no reason. But until I started slowing things down, I just became aware that I like to eat a lot to escape from myself. But I had to be honest with myself. I didn't point fingers at anyone anymore. I was like, okay, you know what? So the moment I want to go eat just to distract myself, I don't judge myself. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm aware that I'm going to automatic behavior, right? So the first step is awareness. So I drop the judgment. I still go eat, but now I'm aware. So the more I drop the judgment, like let go of the judgment, it was easier for my mind to just let go of the fact that I was eating automatically. I didn't just force myself to stop because that would create more resistance, at least from my experience. I was just aware that I was eating. Now I'm aware. And the moment I just, okay, I'm eating, that's okay. I'm eating 10 times a day, it's okay. And one day my mind or my body just, oh, we don't need to eat 3-4 times a day. And I'll eat once and I'll be fine. And I'm, oh, that happened. Because I let go of the judgment, expectation, and comparison. I wasn't saying, oh, in 30 days, no. Time is an illusion. I just stopped. I was like, whatever, man. If it takes 3 years, whatever. I'm okay with it, man. Fuck it. And without me even trying, it just let loose. We stopped judging it. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. I was just fucking eating. And that's, it can apply to anything in your life, money, relationships, whatever it is. People, I speak with people and they talk about money and I'm like, you know, I'm broke. The truth is you enjoy being broke. That's the honest truth. The moment you desire something, you create the alternative. If you say you want to be rich, that means you want to be broke. You got to understand the dualistic thing that we live in. You want to get to that space of isness, like just is. So whether you have $5 million or $50 in your bank account, it doesn't change this beingness. It doesn't control who you are. That's where you want to get to. You don't put money on a pedestal like, oh my God, it's something I got to reach. No, you are it. Once you realize you're it, things to money will come to you. At least that's what's been happening in my experience. I didn't write this book because I wanted to make money. I wrote it out of play. It transformed my life. So because I'm following my highest excitement, money has to come. It doesn't have a choice. And that's what's been happening. I love public speaking. I didn't go chase after it. It was just something that came naturally. Money had to come. I'm writing my second book without even trying. Money has to come. But until I said to slow things down, listen to my intuition, you know, drop the bullshit, you know, I stopped lying to myself. It took a lot of courage. I'm not going to come. It wasn't an easy thing. It was easy. It was hard anyways. But it took a lot of courage. And you know what? I really understand that there's this thing more than this body. And I don't care what I lose. I'm willing to let everything go. I mean, be broke as fuck, lose everything. And that's what happened. I had to lose everything to gain everything. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's literally what happened in my case. And I had to get to that space of there's no fear anymore because I felt my feelings and emotions around money, relationship, material things. So anyone that wants to come and go out of my life, you're free to do that because there's that wholeness here, you know? But I had to be truthful, honest, and just be open to whatever life throws at me. And since then, you know, every day, the moment you say you've gotten, you're it, or no, I take that back. The moment you say, oh, I'm enlightened, you're not. You're not. Just be aware and just shut the fuck up. Just, oh, okay. The truth doesn't speak. It just is. It doesn't speak like, oh, I'm in. No, just be aware and just be quiet about it. Just keep navigating life. Just keep noticing. Just keep observing. That's how you seamlessly navigate life without no. So most of us imagine like you go to the doctor and the EKG machine. Most of us, our life is like what you want to get to is the heartbeat. It's like it's not so up and down like a roller coaster. It's not like it's like a flow. You know, it's like a flow as opposed to be, oh my God, you don't want that. You want to get to that space of, okay, life is still happening, you're just flowing with it. But until you get to that space of you're observing and noticing yourself and nothing is good or bad, that's how you really navigate it. And you know, that's what I, you know, share on my social media platforms. And anyone who wants to have like a one-on-one session with me in terms of life guide mentorship, you know, if you really want to be honest, I can help you. I can feel your energy one, and I can really see where you might be self-sabotaging or repeating the same cycles. It's just, this character is really good at, not me. I know how to shift your perspective, regardless of whatever problems you say you're having. I will help you not solve the problem, because there are no problems. I can shift your perspective on how you see the problem itself. So it's easier to navigate. And that's what I love to do with people. It's so much fun. It's not work for me. It's just something that comes as fun and play. But that's what I do essentially, just point you to you and make you realize who you really are ultimately.
Yeah, it's nice to hear what you're passionate about.
I'm passionate about it, as you can tell, but yeah.
And it's very fascinating because you were saying you were living with this pain for 20 years. So to discover that you can be passionate must have been a huge discovery for you, because being in that pain, I don't think passion for anything is a very high on subjects that you are thinking about.
No, it's not. Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah.
So yeah, the subject of approval or disapproval, yeah, you had to learn a lot, because you said you dropped all the advice you were getting from the sources that were seen as the experts, mm-hmm. right? And you simply said, okay, I'm going to sit with myself and deal with it, whatever comes up, because... I don't know. You must have made a decision. You want to be with yourself and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Because all the rest wasn't working, right? I think that's the reason you decided, and you came to a point where you decided to accept that it wasn't working, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the next thing. You don't always accept it's not working, because you always have hope and around the next corner, right? There's going to be, the grass is going to be greener around the next quarter, right? So you could go on forever, right, with that. So,
yeah.
I mean, not forever. At some point you won't. But when that point is not obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that your work or the way you're doing it is helping people to get to that point faster, where they decide to take on full responsibility and accept that this or that isn't working, but there is another way?
Yes. So one, because at least based on my experience, because I have people, like I said earlier on, people want to see a part of you in them. So the more I share my stories, like, hey, you know, I'm not just saying this from a handout, like, I have gone through this shit. So I'm telling you now, like, you don't have to do that whole long ass journey that I did, you know, and, you know, I'm living a totally different life right now. And I can help you cut through the bullshit. I can really help you cut through that bullshit. You do not need 10 things to transform your life, but you have to be willing to, first of all, you have to realize that even if I'm quote unquote, I'm helping you cut through the bullshit, you have to be willing to be honest. You have to be willing to be like, to do the work. Like, that's the part I can't do for you. Yeah, you can pay me to guide you, but I can't do the feeling I'm feeling of feelings for yourself. Like, you have to sit with yourself. I can give you tools. I can show you where you're repeating the same cycles. That I can do. I can shift your perspective. I can just tell you, you know what? This is how your life is going to be. Just accept it. In this present moment, if you can accept where your life is right now, you're Gucci. You're good. I can do all that for you. But ultimately, where you want to get to is realize that you don't even need me. And that's why I keep telling you, you don't need me. Anybody that tells you that you need them, that's some bullshit. You don't need me. I want to get to a point where I will just let go, because now you realize who you really are. And just realize that whenever any problems come, just sit with yourself, ask your intuition. Because now you have the tools, you've cut through the bullshit, you're honest with yourself. Now you can hear your intuition that has been always communicating with you endlessly. Since you came out of this world, your intuition has been speaking to you. But it's because there are so many clogs or clutter, it's very challenging to hear this intuition that we keep talking about. But you have to find ways to let go of the clutter, the emotional baggage, all of that. The moment you decide to clear, it's so easy. It's like the way you're hearing me so clearly, that's how you start to hear your intuition. Just shut up, listen, shut up, listen. At least from my experience, something comes up in my life that I don't have any clue about, I just shut up. Before I hopped on this call, I was sitting in silence. I just sit. It's now, before it used to be a chore, now I do it almost every, I do it every day, but I do it very more often during the day. Like, I just sit because it's fun now. It's not, I'm trying to get somewhere. It's like, I just want to sit with myself. Like, I just want to sit in silence. Not because I'm trying to get an answer. I just like the silence now. And initially when I started this thing, it was very uncomfortable, obvious, because I've never done that in 33 years of my life. But the more I kept doing it, now it's like fun and play. Like, if I don't sit in silence, truly, I'm like, okay, no, I gotta drop everything I'm doing. Like, let's just have fun, sit in silence. Like, fuck it. Like, no, let's just have fun. And that's where I want you to get to, because you are me. And that's what I keep telling you. You are me. Until you feel like I felt it from my experience, you now start to see a part of you in me and vice versa. Now you realize that, oh my God, I don't need anything outside of me. Life is simple, you know, but you have to come to that awareness yourself. But ultimately, I won't say you need a guide or a mentor, but I did get a mentor, I will say that, but you don't ultimately need one. But if you feel like, you know, you have a huge challenge of just not seeing yourself, get you somebody that you trust, get you somebody, at least, but don't hold on to those people. Don't be like, oh my God, I can't let you go. That's a trap. Just get them for a while. And once you learn what you like, the stairs, right? Let go of the stairs. Just let it go and realize that you got this. And that's what I'll keep telling you. Like, you're it. You know, your consciousness, your love, you're me. You don't need me. And, you know, the more that sinks in, repetition brings clarity, right? The more you keep hearing that, at some point, something gotta give. Something just has to give. Oh yeah. Oh, okay. There it is. You're welcome. But you know, that's just how I, you know, help people. I really don't like using that word help, because who is helping who? That's just how I navigate this human game, you know, because I'm speaking to myself ultimately, but yeah.
Another very important subject is trust. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So you were speaking about it a little. How did you open up to trusting that voice, or whatever you were describing it as, right? Because ultimately you need to choose to listen to that voice, mm-hmm. right? And it's not like we've been taught to listen to the other voice, the one that is always going for separation, going for specialness, going for, like you were saying, okay, I need to have this, I need to get that and that, and then I'll be happy. And then you get it, and then you're happy for a few hours, or maybe a day or two if you're lucky, and then it's over again, right?
Right. So what's the question?
Well, the question is how you developed trust, how you came to see that voice as worth listening to.
Oh, okay. I don't know, for me, I just started becoming, I think awareness played a huge role for me. I will say this though, all the books, all the over 100 books on spirituality and science that I read on the brain and, you know, neuroplasticity and reprogramming, and they helped. I'm going to give them their credit. They helped. So after I discarded, because I got instructions from my intuition to let go, to trash all my books, because that's what led to the title of the book, The Truth Is I Don't Know. You know, the instructions are, you don't know anything. You keep getting this book thinking you're some genius. Oh my God, like, you're going to trash all the over 100 books that I bought for 3 years. And, you know, and that part really humbled me. Because, you know, reading all these books on science and the brain, I swear, oh, you know, I know something. And that's the ego, you know. But how I started to trust was discarding the books and becoming aware, slowing things down. But most important, I think the clutter. So this is, I'm just going to share this, something that really, really helps me. And I still do it till this day. I declutter every day, and I feel like most people have the reason why people find a huge challenge in letting things go is emotional attachment. So people say, you know, why should I declutter? You have a bunch of clothes or things in your home that you don't even use every day. Just think about it. There's some things that have been there for over a year or years that's just been sitting there. So I want you to think about this whole thing as an energy economy. Your mind is creating, whether you accept it or not, consciously or unconsciously, your mind is creating everything. So think about where your energy is going. So you buy a bunch of clothes that you don't wear, your mind is creating that. So that's your energy there. So if you let it go, you have space and you have clutter, like you have clutter, you have room to hear yourself. So the more you let go or declutter things around you, you're able to create space to hear this thing that has been speaking to you. Now, I go really extreme with the declutter. I don't only declutter my clothes and the things in my apartment, on my phone. The apps I don't use, I clear my call logs every day, my voicemail, my emails every morning. Trash, delete the ones that are not... Because I truly understand that everything is energy. Energy is everything. So I always declutter every day. And I've seen it's now it's like a routine that I don't even think about. My brain just does it itself. And it's really helped me to really like have a very clear mind. And something I also do, I used to do it, but I don't do as much as I used to. I turn off my phone and I place in another room before I go to bed just to get my energy back. Like, I'm very big on energy. And the more I was doing that a few months ago, and I saw that I was able to, like, I felt more energized the more I did that when I woke up in the morning, as opposed to, you know, my phone is, there's so many notifications, and it's like, oh my God, like, you can't even hear yourself. And I don't go to my phone the first thing in the morning. That's what I used to do a few months ago. I just give myself space to just become aware of my body. And when I'm driving, as opposed to just looking at the road, I become aware of the trees, the birds, the sky, like things that I wasn't even aware of. Like, I think the more I started slowing things down, it was easier to decipher the voice that was coming from a space of love. And that chatter that was, oh, okay, you gotta do, no, I don't gotta do anything. And that voice that was stillness, like, huh. But I always say this, your intuition, first of all, communicates in images, because words are ultimately a limitation. It can't communicate with you in words, but that would be like a last resort. I think the images are very clear. They are less limiting than words. So at least from my experience, I get images more. Well, the more I kept decluttering, but I used to hear like voices, but I used to get confused with the voice you talked about, like the chatter. I used to get confused, like, which one? She's like, oh my God, I'm confused. But the more I started decluttering, I was getting like clear images to, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. Or this is, it might be like a movie too. It happens to me sometimes, but they are always clear images. But cluttering will really help you start to hear or listen more to that nudge, that your intuition. But I'm just being aware and slowing things, like really slow down. If you brush your teeth for 30 seconds, how about you spend a minute 30 seconds? Like, slow down, like really slow down. And the more you're slowing down, it's easier to hear that stillness, because it doesn't scream. It doesn't, no, it's just go, stay, do this, huh? Like, it's just still. And you don't hear it when you're doing this. You hear it when you're slowing down and just observing. Initially, it might be uncomfortable. That's okay. But the more you do it, at some point, your body has to give. It becomes an automatic behavior for you. But the cluttering for me was very huge. And it really, it's still helping me till today to really like get away those stuff and just be more aware of myself and my intuition, and trust that whatever it is I'm hearing or seeing, this is what I'm meant to do. But yeah.
Yeah, that was a very clear instructions of what one can do, one of the things you can do, yeah, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, as it's called in A Course in Miracles. Yeah,
right.
To choose to listen to it. Okay, it's getting time to wrap up. So is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to answer anyways?
What did you say?
Is there anything you'd like to answer that I haven't asked you?
Not at all. I came here very open. You know, I didn't have any expectation.
Okay. Then how can people reach you if they want to reach you?
Thank you for that. So I'm very active on TikTok, Threads, and Instagram. And I do have a website, www.theamazingsoul.com. If you want to work with me, or if you want to reach out to me, it's info@theamazingsoul.com. But that's essentially how you can reach me, my website or social media.
Wonderful. So thank you so much for joining us here on this journey of walking each other home, as A Course in Miracles calls it. And yeah, please share about it. Let people know about this podcast, because I've had so many amazing guests, and there's potential for so many more listeners. There's no end to it.
Right.
And viewers. So I'd love to get any feedback if you hear any. And if anyone wants to be a guest on the podcast, please reach out to me. And if you have suggestions, you can share that as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, blessings to you all. Until next time.
It's great.